Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. May God bless his word to us.
Okay, well, we're coming to the ABC of church membership. We've done this a few times over the years, and usually it's been a pretty similar pattern. We've kind of looked at affirming our faith, and we've talked about believing in Jesus and being committed to following him. Well, we're kind of changing the pattern a little bit. Richard started last week by talking about Acts 2:42, about the fact that the church is devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And that's a very foundational verse in terms of thinking about what it is to be a Christian, part of the church. We're looking this morning, though, from Ephesians, and we're going to be thinking about a number of passages from Ephesians in the next few weeks. And those verses, verse 19 following, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What on earth is a church, and what does it mean to be part of the church? It's perhaps important to remember, and although it's an obvious thing to say, it's important to remember that the church is not a building. The church in general, didn't have dedicated buildings in which they met for about 400 years. Perhaps the earliest examples of a dedicated building for people to meet in was around about the end of the 4th century AD. Up to that point, people met in small and large houses, or maybe some met in the open air, or some met in some public building that was rented. It made people very adaptable. It made people somewhat flexible in their approach. It involved a bit of work. I mean, it was interesting yesterday to have been around all day at the preparation for the concert to see how many wires and how many light stands and how many lights and how many boxes were required. I made a comment last night that it's amazing how much work was needed to make a concert look effortless. You know, when you're in that situation where you haven't got your own building, there are things you can't assume. You need to bring things. You need to make sure that everything is ready. That means earlier starts. Now, the people who are doing music and I were They were here at 9, I was here around about 8 o'clock, and that seems possibly early enough to be preparing for a 10:30 service, but we've got a building where everything's set out nicely, which is very, very convenient. But the church is not a building. It is made up of people. The architecture of the church is biological. The architecture of the church is living, breathing people. If you remove the people from Lancing Tab, all you have is a piece of real estate. Interestingly, that since the police station went for sale, a piece of real estate that we've had two or three requests to buy by the local community. I had a note this week, and it said, "We hear that you're ceasing trading." It's kind of really nice to respond to those situations and say, "No, we're on the high street, and actually we are trading, and we're trading well. We're dealing well with what it means to be a Christian church. We are not Woolworths. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. But what we are as the Church of Jesus Christ is the people. If there was no people here, well, there would be no point in keeping the building going. It would be better used as retirement flats. But we've got a better use for it at this time. We're not the retiring kind. Well, yeah, we're not the retiring kind. And we're in business. We're here. And the great thing about Lancing Tab is the people. You know, I miss bits about Lancing Tab when I'm away in Latvia. I usually miss the singing. It was kind of interesting last week because a lot of the songs were familiar songs. And although I was singing them in Latvian, I thought about those songs. So we sang The Splendor of a King. And I thought, well, hey, it'd be nice to sing that in English this week. So it was good to kind of have that. But I miss the singing. Obviously, I miss people. Latvian people, as opposed to the Russian-speaking people, can be a little bit difficult to get to know. Kind of told a story last week to them about personal evangelism. I said, you know, you can't talk to people about Jesus unless you talk to people. It's kind of an obvious statement, isn't it? You know, you can't talk to people evangelistically about Jesus if you don't talk to people. And I told the story about a friend of mine in Latvia in the 1990s. He said to a couple in the church, we'd like to invite you round to our house. And the couple said, why? And they said, well, you know, we'd like to give you a meal. And they said, why? Well, we'd like to get to know you. And they said, why? You know, some people are, you know, a little bit more difficult to get to know. But it is great. It's great to be amongst people that I know or I'm getting to know. That's a great privilege, isn't it? It's a great blessing. Church is more than just a building. It is about people. Of course, Ephesians 2:19-22 has got these amazing pictures of how people join together. Because it's people joined together. That's the remarkable thing. Kind of thinking last night about Lou and Nathan Fellingham. What a lovely couple they are. How accomplished they are as individuals. But what a lot they've done because they've been brought together. Sometimes that's true, isn't it? True of a married couple. It's true of a small group of people. And it can be true of a larger group of people. That we are more than the sum of our parts. That when we're gathered together, there's something about us that is special because we are together. That is a mighty blessing. You see, it is difficult sometimes to discern the power of Christian faith in an individual, although thankfully that is possible, and many people do discover that. But a concentrated group of people that believe the same thing and are moving in the same direction has a tremendous power. You know, sometimes when we're on our own, we think, well, you know, I feel as though I'm the only person who believes this. I feel that I'm the only person around here that's really serious about this. And then you suddenly come to a place where other people believe what you believe and are serious about what you believe. It's about people. The church is about people. People who are together. And the church is a place of welcome. That's the remarkable thing. We have the statement above the door. It's been there perhaps for so long that we don't notice it. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. That's the message of Romans 15, and that's the message of the gospel. The church is a place of welcome. Wherever people have been, whatever people have done, however they have messed up, however they have failed, there's a place of welcome. Whatever their backstory, there is a welcome. A place of welcome. You know, we had in the reading that statement just before our text in verse 18. For through him, through Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And someone has said that access to a impressive person often leads to access to an impressive building. If you kind of get friendly with Harry and Will, maybe you get to be invited to Kensington Palace. The welcome by an impressive person might lead to a welcome to an impressive building. And here we have a welcome home to God's house, to God's temple, a place of hospitality. Come on in. Now, it is great that this is true, isn't it? Now, I'm a pastor. I've knocked on a few doors in my time. And it's interesting how different the reaction can be. Sometimes I've knocked on a door and I've had someone speak to me through the letterbox. Sometimes I've knocked at the door and I've had someone speak to me through a crack in the door with the chain dangling down, as though I'm some kind of dangerous individual. Sometimes I've had the door open, but it's quite clear that I'm not going to get on the doormat. Sometimes people open the door and they say, "Come on in. How do you like your tea?" God is like that. He flings the doors open wide and welcomes people into his house. No longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. The city of God, the place where God dwells, citizens, fellow citizens, no longer aliens. That's people without a place. People without a state, stateless people, people who don't belong, people who haven't got a permanent place, welcomed. You're no longer an alien. You're no longer stateless, but you have a place. You are a citizen. You are welcome here. See, God doesn't give us various stages of being settled, you know, a bit like us with EU nationals. Once you're in, you're in. Once you're in the city, you're in the city. You're part of the city of God. Whenever you feel unloved, unimportant, or insecure, remember to whom you belong. Remember that you belong to the living God and you're part of the city of God. But not only fellow citizens with the saints, but part of the household of God. If being a citizen speaks about our relationship with one another, we're fellow citizens of the city. Household speaks about our relationship to God. Not only are we a citizen, but we're actually family. God views us as not just part of the city, but part of his house. We're part of the family of God, and we call God Father. We say, "Abba, Father." The church is a group of people who are on intimate relationship with the living God. The household of God. God's people, members of God's household. Of course, it makes a difference, doesn't it? When the front door that we're coming to is not a stranger's door, but it's our father and mother's door. We don't need to knock. We can just open the door and come in. We belong there. We're truly welcome there. This is home. For God has granted us entrance. And this city, this household, is built, says the apostle, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. We're welcomed, and if we're Christians, we're built into what God is building in our world. And just think about what it means to be built in to the Church of Jesus Christ. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What an amazing wave of revelation there was when Jesus first came into the world, when he sent his 12 apostles and the prophets of the first century to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to proclaim that God's great new project was underway. God builds a foundation of his message. You saw it last week as Richard spoke about us being devoted to the apostles' teaching. The church is a church that has had the investment of the apostles' teaching, the prophetic words of those first century pioneers that have formed the foundational beliefs and practices of the Christian church. We have the gospels, we have the letters, and they're the blueprint of what it is to be part of the city of God, part of the household of God. We're built according to a certain plan. Our eldest daughter is living in a mobile home at present, next door to her former house. She sold the former house, her and her husband, and having a new house built. The winter has not been the easiest time to be doing that. It's pretty chilly in a mobile home. It's been fascinating to see the building rising from the ground. They've been working very carefully. Every detail carefully followed in order that the building might be just right. God is building us into this community that's been shaped by this revelation from the apostles and prophets, and built on the cornerstone or capstone, Jesus Christ. Everything about the Church of Jesus Christ is related to him. The church is nothing without Jesus Christ. He is our reference point. He is the one who determines what will be and will not be. In the first chapter, we read these words, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." The church is nothing by itself. It's only something because it's attached to Jesus and because Jesus fills it and grants it life and significance. It's only the church because Jesus is head and Jesus is its fullness. He's the cornerstone. We're being built on this foundation and we're being built on this cornerstone. And it reminds us that we as the church are connected. We're not a disconnected group. Now, it is possible, isn't it? You go into a home, you see a lounge, and there's mum, and there's dad, and there's a couple of teenage children, a couple of other children, and although they're in the same room, they seem to be totally disconnected. They're all connected to a world through their phone or their iPad or their tablet, but there seems to be very little connection between them. And it's possible, even in the church, for there to be a number of people who are gathered in the same place. But in some way, they are disconnected. The glue that binds them together seems to be somewhat missing. They seem to be bouncing off each other. Someone had a picture once of a church as being a really, really cold frontier hut. And a whole group of hedgehogs had got into the front of the hut where it was very, very cold. And they realized that they would be warmer if they were together, but as they got closer together, the hedgehogs, obviously because of their spikes, made it uncomfortable for the other hedgehogs to get close. And sometimes the church can be a little bit like that. We're a little bit like hedgehogs. We feel that we do need to get together to be a little bit warmer, but sometimes we get too close and things get a little bit spiky. The church is intended to be connected up. And in fact, Paul uses a couple of unique terms, probably coined by him, When he says there in verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him you two are being built together. Joined together, built together. Probably terms that Paul coined as special terms just to talk about what it was to be part of the church. And think of all these pictures. We're the city of God, we're the household of God, and we are the temple of God. The place that God particularly lives, the place that he inhabits. Of course, the Christian message of Jesus is that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is amongst us. The church is the place where God is pleased to dwell. And in all of this, again, we're reminded it's all because of him. Listen to those words again. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, too, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I like the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote a book called Life Together just before the Second World War, before his death on the last day of the Second World War in 1945. And he wrote in his little community, an excluded community on the edge of Germany, his little book, Life Together, and he said this: in the Christian community, everything depends upon whether each individual is an indispensable link in a chain. Only when even the smallest link is securely interlocked is the chain unbreakable. Every Christian community must realize that not only do the weak need the strong, but also that the strong cannot exist without the weak. The elimination of the weak is the death of fellowship. If you have a chain that has 100 strong links and one weak link, you no longer have a chain. The chain is broken. Are being built together, are being joined together, the connection points, the linking points, the meeting points within the church are vital for its health. Healthy relationships, healthy personal commitments, people talking with each other, praying with each other, serving each other, understanding each other, caring for each other. Those things are so important for the church to work, to be built together, to be joined together. So meet is one of our four-letter words during Lent. Meet. A question to ask ourselves on a Sunday morning. We have come to a meeting on Sunday morning. But who have we met with? I hope that we can all say we met with Jesus. That'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be the right answer, I suppose. But have we met with someone that we've significantly interacted with so that we could receive and give to that person? Think about the people that may be that are newish for the church. What does it mean for them to meet? Who are they meeting? Who are they meaningfully engaging with week by week? Now, meet is one of our four-letter words, and I said that, you know, we needed to bear in mind that word from Hebrews 10, that we are to see how inventive we can be to spur each other on to love and helping out. And we do need to be inventive. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. One of the things that you notice about Paul's description of the church is that the description is all about ongoing projects. You know, if you go to London, what is London? You know, strictly speaking, the city of London is a relatively small section at the centre of London. But we all know that Greater London kind of grows into a huge metropolitan region. A city is a work in progress. It is changing and adapting. There are still parts of East London that were damaged in the Second World War through bomb damage that are yet to be redeveloped. And they'll be part of the future of the city. Cities develop, households develop. So a young husband and wife set up home, And then sometime later, they look forward to the idea of there being a 3, 4, 5, maybe more. And then those 3, 4, 5, and so on, they kind of start being 2, and then 3, and 4. Households, they develop too. And temples develop. As Paul wrote these words, the temple, the physical temple in Jerusalem, had been being rebuilt for some decades and was not yet finished. It's a reminder that being part of the church is being part of a work in progress. It's never really finished until Jesus returns and puts the finishing touches upon the church. As we look around, there are things that we perhaps would like to improve, things that could be better. Well, that's the nature of being part of the church. The good thing is that we're part of it. We're part of the city, we're part of the household, we're part of the temple, and that we're willing to be patient with the process of us being built. You know, there'll be changes here in this coming year. Some of them are big changes. That's part of being joined together as the body of Christ. Now, I was really encouraged by the words that Lou Fellingham said yesterday. She said, you know, I don't want to say that this is a prophetic word about Lansing, but this is a small place, but maybe God wants to spiritually revive Lansing. Well, that's a striking thing to think about and pray about, isn't it? We are an unfinished project. God is developing people. God is adding. God will add in the future. Perhaps God has something very significant for this particular group of citizens, for this particular part of the household, for this particular part of the temple. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Wouldn't it be great if in Lansing, when people say, what goes on at Lansing Town? Well, those people, they meet with God. Those people meet with God. God is alive and God is in the house. Amen. That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Temples were built in the first century to tell a story. You go to the great cities of the Roman and Greek world and the striking places of the temples, even the temples that have been left in ruins, they tell a story. They tell a story of the great wealth of those cities. They tell a story of their trust. And Paul is saying, God is building a new temple and it's telling a different kind of story, because it's not about promoting our status, saying that we're wealthier than Corinth or Ephesus or so on. It's saying that God is great, that God is good, that the good news is worth hearing. That God is building something, a temple, that isn't simply a pile of impressive stones that might now be in ruin, but is a living temple in which the Spirit lives, made up of people who are alive in Jesus Christ. Just think of that. You are part of the temple of God. What a privilege. I am alive. You are alive. You're connected. What a privilege. What a responsibility. Let's work at meeting God and meeting each other and meeting those who yet are to meet Jesus, that we might see more citizens, more members of the household, more as part of the temple of the living God. Amen. Father God, we come to you and we thank you that you are a God who welcomes us to yourself, welcomes us into your place, your home. We thank you that we're part of the temple where you dwell by your Spirit. And Father God, we pray that wonderful vision will capture our imagination and help us to live differently. Father God, we pray that you will make us a healthy community of your people ready for what you have in mind for us, ready to live for your glory, and ready to extend the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, to grow in confidence in coming to you and grow in confidence in relating to each other. Build your church, O Lord. Build me into your church more effectively and fruitfully. Build us together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing a song that affirms our faith.